Part 1. The Importance of Your Destiny. Chapter 1. Concept. The great Italian sculptor, painter, architect, and poet Michelangelo once said, "In every block of marble, I see a statue as plain as though it stood before me, shaped and perfect in attitude and action. I have only to hew away the rough walls that imprison the lovely apparition to reveal it to the other eyes, as mine see it. In every imperfect, jagged-edged, bulky, unshaped block of marble Michelangelo set his eyes on, he saw the treasure within. He once described the process this way: I saw the angel in the marble, and carved until I set him free. Michelangelo could do this because he didn't see what the marble was. He saw what the marble would be. He saw a masterpiece. Friend, you are a masterpiece. In the book of Ephesians, we read this about another artist. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The Greek word translated workmanship in this verse refers to you, me, and every other child of God. It is poema, for which we get our English word poem. This word denotes a work of art or a masterpiece. You have been made as a work of God. You are his poema. You weren't created on the assembly line or as a random object thrown together to fill up space or time. When God made you, he went to work, intentionally and delicately, crafting your personality, looks, passions, skills, even allowing your imperfections and planting your dreams all into one magnificent work of art. In fact, God did more than plant your dream inside of you. God dreamed a dream for you. Did you know that God has a dream for you? He does. You are his masterpiece. You are God's dream. What's more, you are made with a purpose. That purpose includes responsible stewardship of God's authority. It includes expanding his dominion. It includes more than merely showcasing your talents. It involves impacting your world for good by ruling the realm where God has positioned you. Destiny and authority. When God set about to create Adam and Eve, he said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule." Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Theologians often refer to this passage as the initiation of the dominion covenant. It reveals that God placed mankind on earth to serve as his stewards over his creation. He placed us here and gave us dominion, the authority to rule. David echoes this covenant in Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crowned him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. When God gave us dominion, he said it came with two conditions. First, our authority is an extension of his authority. By charging mankind with dominion, God relinquished his direct rule over the things of the earth and now rules through mankind. In essence, he made mankind managers over his creation. Managers don't carry out their own processes, procedures, or initiatives. They oversee tasks and people in a manner that reflects the goals and visions of their superiors. God is our superior, and we have been placed on earth to manage his creation under him. The second condition of the dominion covenant is that if you rule according to God's intentions, you will receive God's provision. In other words, he will supply all that you need when your decisions are based on his principles and purpose. However, the reverse of that is true as well. God gives you the freedom to rule your world according to your own goals apart from him. But if you do, you will lack his provision and his backing, just as any manager would lack the provision of his company should he choose to carry out his own goals and not those of his leadership. God has designed you to have all that you need to productively rule your world. Yet, in spite of